get different micronutrients when you have variety.
Dawn, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. You came in with Debbie, came in with you. I should say she came
in
with
right.
you because this is your trip.
It is.
This is your second time coming to Japan.
Yeah, I was here last January, mm-hmm. and so I'm here for a conference. And Debbie convinced me to come a couple of days early, so we're going to do some foodie tourism, which is great because I travel by stomach, right? I love to see a country by their food and by their culture and walk around and try all the different places.
Where were you born?
I grew up in New York City.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have siblings?
I have one younger sister. Yeah.
How many years difference?
Almost five. Yeah.
Close?
Not so much. You know, it's hard right?
Am I right? Am I right or what?
Well, the challenge, of course, as you know, is once you're more than 4 years apart, you're in different schools at different times.
That's right.
So.
And you have different friends, different.
Right.
And also you listen to different music.
Right.
That's something too, that the music you like, she probably doesn't like,
right.
and vice versa. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is.
So mom and dad still together?
Neither one is still with us.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Thank you. But yeah, she still lives in New York, and I moved to Boston after college,
mm-hmm.
and I've been in Boston ever since.
Yeah. You have family?
I'm married with one son.
Okay.
Yeah.
And How old is your son now?
He's 19. He's a freshman in college. Ironically enough about the music, he listens to all the same music that I listen to.
Of course he would. Well, listen, he was listening to it when he was inside you as well. So that's all he knows.
Right.
Come on.
Right. He's of the opinion that there's no good music anymore, which is really funny. He's an old soul.
But we grew up at a time when you knew the words, and that's what you went by.
Well, and you sat there. You'd go by the album. You get the liner.
If you're lucky, yes.
You'd get the lyrics over and over again you knew all the lyrics by heart. We just went to see Billy Joel in New York. And remember.
He was just, was he
was
here.
He was just here
Wednesday. Yes, I was going to say that, yes.
Yes. In fact, I'm hoping to bump into him because on his Instagram feed, he's still here with his wife and his two little girls.
And you just might. This is a city, the thing I love about Tokyo, when you have people come here that are really famous in other countries, they walk around without
Nobody
any bodyguards,
knows.
Nothing.
Yeah.
They're not trying to camouflage themselves, and you'll say, what? Frank Sinatra? No, the kids wouldn't know who he is, but anyway.
Right.
And they're walking around on their own, enjoying themselves here because it's so safe.
Yeah.
Really, for a big city? So tell me, so what does bring you to Japan? What brought you here the first time?
So in the corporate world, I do sales and marketing with network infrastructure company, and we're having our sales kickoff here in Tokyo. We bring in everybody from around the world.
What are you marketing? What are you selling?
So it's a network operating system, sort of powers data centers and service providers, deeply technical, boring but important stuff. But my passion is food, very much like Debbie. So I'm also a nutritionist. And I love to see places by their food and their culture.
So when you came here the first time, what'd you do? Well, how did that go, food-wise?
Food-wise, so you know, aside from the time that we're locked in a conference room doing all the things, we had some amazing meals. We had a couple of group dinners, one at a restaurant at the top of the Westin,
okay.
which was amazing.
I live right behind the Westin Hotel.
And so we had.
That was French.
It was a buffet.
You had the French, or did you have
it? It was an Asian buffet, all you can eat sushi and whatnot.
Okay.
And we did go to another French restaurant that I don't recall the name of.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to a teppanyaki place, which, if you're listening from the U.S., is not any relation to the teppanyaki places that we have in the U.S.
What's the difference?
Which are so silly, and they're just an over-the-top show, and you know, they throw food at you to catch in your mouth. This was not that. We had Wagyu beef, and it was all very formal, and it was delicious.
That's right, like the Benihanas.
Yeah.
I went there once when they first started. And the guys would take the knives and flip these really sharp knives and catch them and have fire and stuff and almost...
Yes.
it's a whole show. It's a whole show.
The food's not very good. The show is fun.
Right.
But
here it's about the meal.
Amazing. Absolutely.
And the chef is very serious. He's not playing with you, joking with you. He has nothing to say. He can have conversation with you, but he's still good at what he's doing. He never takes his mind off of what he's doing. Matter of fact, I'm having a gathering of 8 people, and it's for this podcast, actually. It's a focus group, and we're going to have teppanyaki
Fun.
At a local it's a boutique hotel. Mm-hmm. It's a military hotel, as a matter of fact.
Interesting.
The Nusano. And they have a very nice teppanyaki restaurant there. So anyway, so that's what you went into the first time you came.
So we tried some of that. Of course, we had lots of sushi. And
had you eaten it before?
I love sushi. I'm a big fan
of
fresh fish.
So did you see any difference? Did you see any difference from when you ate it here? Okay, tell me.
So good here. So good.
So you had never been here. Your first time coming was last year, right?
Yeah.
And you'd eaten a lot of sushi before. And probably tuna's probably one of your favorites.
Tuna, salmon, it's what you can get
of
fresh.
Of course, in US, right.
Right, you want to get the fresh stuff. But after being here, I couldn't have sushi at home for like 6 months.
It wasn't fresh anymore?
I just couldn't. It just wasn't quite the same. And now, of course, I do, and I found a couple of places that are very high quality. But it is different. And of course, when you're having raw food, you want to make sure it's the highest quality
possible. You
sure
do, almost definitely. Yeah. I went to Dubai not long ago, and they had a sushi restaurant in one of the malls. That stuff, really, it might as well have had mole on it. Nobody was sitting at the table, but they had the kaiten sushi that was going around. Uh-huh. And I'm looking, I said, you've got to. I said, seriously, does anyone come here? And they went,
no.
I said, they won't because, and then they had stuff on there like cake. They had all kinds of different things. I said, what?
It's crazy.
But you can make whatever you want if people don't know.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting. So you came here, you enjoyed the food.
Yes.
What else happened?
I did a little bit of tourism. I did a city tour, saw the Tokyo Tower, went to the Meiji Shrine, went to the fish market, bought a knife.
Wait, the fish market, so was last year. Oh, so the new fish market, right. The new one. You didn't go to the old Tsukiji, right?
No, I went to the new one.
Right, the new one in Tsurusa. Yeah.
And so we're at the fish market, and I'm messaging Debbie, and I said, Debbie, I'm in Japan. Do you want a knife? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I think you have to really try it out for yourself. So I tried a couple of knives and brought home a couple, one for myself and one for my son, who really enjoys cooking. And and this time when I said I was coming back, she's like, great, I'm coming with you.
She told me, because we had a talk on the phone. Well, first of all, I should tell everyone that Debbie and Dawn are very close friends. You've been friends for a long time?
A handful of years, yeah.
A handful of years. And they're here visiting Japan, and it's Debbie's first time, and Dawn's been here 2 times now. And you're going to enjoy it. The first time, how long did you stay, for a week?
A week, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me a little bit more about home. So what do you do there again? You said that you're...
So I'm a sales for a network infrastructure company.
And you've been there for a long time?
Almost 18 years, yeah.
Okay. So you like it?
You know, I'm in two worlds, right? My background is in high tech. My degree is in computer science. So I enjoy all the pieces of the puzzle that go along with that world. And my passion is in food and nutrition. And helping people understand that healthy food does not mean that you're eating cardboard, right? You have the fun and the flavors. And healthy. It's all part of lifestyle, right? And so those are other kinds of puzzle pieces that I like to help people put together. And so I'm migrating away from the high tech puzzle into the nutritional puzzle.
Well, it's really important. Isn't that something? It's interesting. My wife's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of doctor friends. Not because of her, but I just have a lot of doctor friends. It's interesting, in school they're never taught about nutrition.
They're not.
Isn't that something?
They're not.
And that's the most important thing to us. It's like, I don't know, like being a scuba diver, not knowing anything about oxygen. You have to know about nutrition, and why don't they? And isn't it hard to get good food in the States? That's what I want to know. Because it seems like it's easy, but it's either hard or expensive.
It's really easy to get bad food in the States.
I know that.
Really easy. And it takes a lot of knowledge and intention to flip that, to change your mindset, to be looking for something that feeds your body as well as feeding your soul, instead of just putting stuff in your stomach.
Is it expensive?
It can be expensive. It doesn't have to be expensive.
Okay.
You really need to keep your eyes open, practice, be mindful about what you're buying.
Take me through the store then.
Sure.
Tell me, what would we do? Okay, if we went to the store, because I would see all the processed foods. I know that you stay away from the boxes and the cans.
Right.
All right, so we go to the produce. What would you tell me to do?
Well, first is start with something that you love.
In produce?
Yeah. What do you like to eat?
See, that's well, right now I'm really big in meat.
Okay, great. What kind of proteins do you like?
Beef.
Okay. Well, start with beef.
Beef and chicken are good.
Great.
I eat a little bit of pork every now and then.
Okay. Okay. All right. So let's say we're having a meal with beef. That's your protein. Beef already has a decent fat content, so you don't need to add a ton of fat to that. You just need to add some good, healthy carbs. So what do you like to have with your beef? Let's say we're having a steak.
Mashed potatoes would be really nice.
Great. Great. How about a non-starchy vegetable to go with that, too?
Broccoli. I love broccoli.
Broccoli's great. Okay. You just made a well-balanced meal with protein, fats, and carbs. And the only other thing you need to do is be aware of how much you're putting into your body.
Well, ding, 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 ding.
That's
not a problem for me.
Right?
That is good.
That's good. It's not that hard.
It isn't. I guess it wouldn't
be. But you
have
to be mindful about it.
Yeah. But then you don't want to do that every day because I'm this type. I go into something, then I do it so much that I get tired of it. I find a good restaurant because I eat lunch out all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was just with my assistant because she eats with me a lot. Mm-hmm. And we went to one place. We've gone there for about 2 weeks. Don't want it anymore. We tried everything on the menu, and it's good.
Yep.
It really is good food. Don't feel like eating this anymore.
Well, variety is important, absolutely.
It is.
Not just for the reason that you mentioned, but also because you get different micronutrients when you have variety.
Okay, but what about if you know you like Indian food, mm-hmm. but this guy, it's good, and also we think about the price, too. Mm-hmm. The price rate is good, but he puts too much sugar in his food.
Mm.
It's too sweet. I can taste it.
Yeah.
So it's still okay?
Well, you are the customer, right? You can simply say, I'd really like to have this with a little bit less sugar and a little bit less salt.
No, you don't do that here.
No.
This is not America, no. I don't know if that would work here. I guess you could say it, just like you can ask them to do a couple of things. They'll look at you like, okay, you're a gaijin. You're a foreigner and you think you can get it your way. Well,
I do because it's my body. And the only person who's taking care of it is me.
I know, but you can do that. But you can't tell a restaurant that here.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
You could. If you did it right, I shouldn't say you couldn't. Mm-hmm. You'd have to be very savvy with the culture and be able to speak a little bit and say, mo chotto, you know, tikiriba, if you could do it.
Yeah.
Don't ask them to, if it's possible, something like that. Then they might oblige you. But if you said, could you put less, you know, would you put less sugar in there? And they would take it wrong, first of all.
Right.
What do you mean? It's like telling a chef.
Right.
You know what, this needs are having salt. Before you even eat it, taking salt and pouring it on a nice meal someone just made,
right.
You haven't even tasted it yet. You don't even know what it tastes like yet for someone that likes to have a lot of salt, which I don't do.
Right. Well, that's an excellent point. So maybe you have to choose meals when you're going out that you know are naturally made with less sugar if you want to have less sugar in them.
Right. Yeah. So what do you do when you go to a restaurant and you know the meal isn't good? You've ordered, it's not good. How do you react?
Like, as in, I don't like it, or the food itself is not fresh?
Well, both.
Well, I have absolutely sent back fish, for example, in a sushi. I'm so sorry, I don't think that this is fresh enough.
And what will they do?
They'll change it.
Oh, and they will?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've done that in the States, you said?
In the States.
Okay.
Yes. And the same with wine, you know.
The wine, yes.
The wine is spoiled.
But don't they usually give you a taste
right.
at the beginning? Yeah, I've done
that.
Yeah.
Most people won't send it back.
Well, I will.
Yeah.
I'm not
going to
drink
table,
a bad wine.
Right?
I'm not going to shoot, and the cork's rotted in it or something. No way. You're going to take that back.
Most definitely. It's all about mindset. You have absolutely no issue sending back wine. You're not quite sure about the food.
I don't eat it.
Yeah.
I just won't eat because, as I was telling Debbie, food, I still have that in me. It's not a big deal for me, but I do like good food, and I know the difference. So if it isn't that good, I say, okay, well, it'll stop me from gaining that little bit I would have gained anyway, so I'll suck it up. I'm doing my intermittent fasting sooner than I thought.
Oh,
whatever.
No, we're not going to go down that path.
You don't do that at all?
No.
Okay. So how do you keep yourself trim and keep yourself nice and the weight that you want to be? How do you do it?
I eat all day long. And that's how I coach people to eat. Every 3 to 4 hours, a balanced meal of protein, fat, and carbs.
Really?
Absolutely. You need food to keep your metabolism going.
Okay.
Right?
So
when you don't, your body wants to know, where's my food?
What about the exercise?
Absolutely, exercise is important. You need to be mindful and intentional about your movement. Being sedentary is terrible for you. and lifestyle. You need to make sure you're doing things that keep you happy, mm-hmm. bring you joy.
Right? What do you that keeps you happy and brings you joy?
I go to good restaurants, have a great glass of wine with my meal.
But you don't go to restaurants more than once a day, right?
Not usually, not unless
I'm traveling. Okay, that's what I was thinking,
okay. Right. So or make a good meal.
Right. You have 3 meals a day?
I have 5 to 6 meals a day.
Okay, so how does that, talk me through it.
Some of them are a little bit quicker meals, grab and go. Sometimes I'll prepare a protein shake. I keep hard-boiled eggs in my fridge. I keep shredded chicken in my fridge. I keep partially cooked fish in my fridge. So then when I put a meal together, it's usually 10 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't take the time, you know, to 2 hours to put a meal together. That would be my whole day, right?
Right.
But I do enjoy good food.
So you set up your food. So you set up these mini meals. Let me call them that. Throughout the week, so you know, boom, 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 I'm going to have this, this, this. You have your egg, you have your little bit of fish, and such and such.
I have some go-to meals, absolutely. Okay. You know, for breakfast, for mid-morning, for lunch, and then the afternoon is where I get to have a little bit of creativity.
Okay, this is what I do. Since I have you here, I guess what I do. I eat twice a day.
Okay.
And if I eat in the morning, it's not really eating so much as putting together a smoothie. Mm-hmm. I guess you call them smoothies. I take oat milk, which my assistant says, it's not milk, it's juice, oat milk juice. They don't even put it in the dairy department. They put it by the juices. But anyway, so I like to call it oat milk because that's what it says on the pack.
Right.
And I don't even know how it's made. I should look that up. Anyway, so oat milk, I use that in my blender. I take frozen cherries, strawberries, frozen mango.
Okay.
I use that. And I take one banana. Mm-hmm. And I'll blend that all together, and then I take 2 heaping tablespoons of flaxseed powder, and dip that. Because I used to have, I had the raw, the regular flaxseed, and it was grinded. But it takes so much time. I just get the powder, and they tell me that you've lost whatever you're supposed to lose from it being powder, but it still works for me. Mm-hmm. So I put 2 of those in there, grind it up, and I'm done. So I have that, and then I'll have 1 good meal at lunch, and usually it's protein-based. So what do you think, just twice a week? Because I tend to gain weight, but it's hard to get rid of it.
Well, I think a lot of people struggle with that, and the thing that they're not aware of is feeding their body on a regular basis, right? So for your smoothie, if I could tweak something, I would add a little bit more protein to it, add a little protein powder. Could be plant-based. It could be whey-based, whatever suits you.
So if I use whey protein, that'd be great?
Toss a scoop in, absolutely. Balance it out, because you've already got plenty of carbs from your fruit, and you've got some good oils from your flax, but you need a little bit of protein to balance that out. And what that does is it helps keeps you satisfied into your next meal, right?
Okay.
And then
think that really worked. The protein powder is really worth, that really does something?
It does.
Okay.
It does. You need all your macronutrients in each meal, yeah.
And I also realized this too, because I work out and I have pull-up bars throughout my house. I have 3 areas where I have pull-up bars. So I do a lot of pull-ups at my age. And every time I take those little tests you get that flow through your iPhone, you know, when you're on some app, it says test yourself and say, I'm way above any of the stuff that says, can you do 10 push-ups? You got to be kidding me. Can you do 1 or 2 pull-ups? I have my youngest son who's 31, Saturday, he turns 31. He still beat me because he did 18 pull-ups. I just challenged him one evening, and he did 18, and I pulled off 10 and didn't feel like trying to do anymore because I didn't want to hurt myself. But now I've gotten up to 15.
That's great. Yeah. And all of that is very positive, right? I think the exercise, the movement, all of that helps keep you young. The food's important too, because what you do with the food, you keep your blood sugar balanced, and that keeps your inflammation down. And that keeps you young in the way that you don't get diseases of inflammation as you get older. And that matters.
Doesn't weight matter too?
To some degree. I don't want to say not as much as we think.
Okay.
But you can be skinny and unhealthy.
That is right? So true.
So that is so true. In that way it matters.
That is so true. Because there's so many people I know that are going around that they have fatty livers, you know, they're really in bad shape intestinally, inside, but outside they look really thin and lean, but no.
It's what what's inside that counts, really. If your numbers are good, if all of your stats are good, that's what matters. And then you've got a range of healthy weight, right? And
that's true.
So it's not about being skinny.
And something else too, isn't it true that if you, let's say you work out and stuff, muscle weighs more than fat?
Well, it's funny you say that because I hear people say that all the time. And the truth is, a pound of muscle and a pound of fat still weigh a pound. Right.
But I mean, but
it
the
takes
density,
up less
but
space.
It takes up less space, right?
Right, is what everybody wants to say. It's always such a fun conversation.
That's good.
Right.
Oh, that's true.
But if you have 5 pounds of fat, that takes up this much space, and 5 pounds of muscle will take up this much space. So you'll look different when your body composition is different.
Right. But your weight might be more. That's what I'm saying. The point I'm making is this. Because fat does take up more space. Okay, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's true. It does. You may be slimming down, but your weight won't change because muscle weighs more and
it's
more
dense. Which is why you should throw out your scale.
That's right.
Throw out your
they
scale.
Say that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, wouldn't we all be less stressed if we threw out our scale? We don't need our scales.
Well, see, I'm not stressed like they are in the U.S. because they don't push that on you here.
Good.
They don't have any commercials like that. My son went through the States with me. Mm-hmm. We go through the States from the East Coast to the West Coast, and he gets to the West Coast. He said, "Dad, I'm not sleeping so well." And I said, "You know why?" He said, "No." And I said, "Turn on the TV. Pay attention to the commercials." And he started looking at the commercials, and he went, from flaps to breath, to underarms, to weight, to hair, everything is bad.
Right.
And I said, that's why you're not sleeping. In Japan?
You don't have those conversations.
That's not part of the conversation at all. Matter of fact, all they have on the commercials are, it tastes so good.
Right.
Or, look at how pretty the flowers are. That's it. You sleep really sound here. Then you go to work and you're working all day. And you die from that.
Well, but some of the things you mentioned about the commercials, those are important because that puts your mindset in a positive frame, and that's also important for your health.
It is. Yeah. It is. It makes a big difference. And that's why you don't see the same type of, fitness ailments you see in other countries here.
Right.
But I think France is also good that way. You've been to France?
I have been to France, and it's fascinating. They call it the French paradox. How is it that they can, have the red wine and the fatty foods and still be healthy?
Really?
It is very interesting. Yeah.
But I think they do get a lot of the aerobic workout because they walk everywhere.
They do.
They don't mind to do that. And attitude, I think, plays a big part
attitude
of it. Your
makes
body
a big
will
difference.
Tend to, don't you think so?
And the healthy fats, as opposed to in the U.S., we have a lot more unhealthy fats.
And I think also our culture in the U.S., the food industry in the U.S. really pushes so much bad stuff on you.
It does.
And they just push it so much that doctors that don't know anything about nutrition will tell you need to go eat more cereal or get, the very things you shouldn't be doing, they'll tell you to do because they don't know any better.
Well, and their goal, in fairness, is to keep you alive right now. My goal is to keep you healthy for a long time to come, right? So we have different goals, and that's fine. I work with clients that have some complex medical challenges, and they've got a great medical team, but they'll get sent home with something like Boost and Ensure, which is not very much in the way of nutrition, and that's okay. We'll graduate them off that to a whole healthier set of food, and all of a sudden they are sleeping better and they are feeling better. Their mood is better. Their digestion is better. Their energy is better. And it really matters because it's what they're putting into their bodies.
That's right. Yeah. And also, like we said earlier, what you put in your mind.
Yes.
What they're looking at, what they see, what the people they have around them, what they're talking about.
Right.
Makes a big difference. And when I go to the States, it's really, I've been here 50 years now. So I've spent all my adult life here. But every time I go back to the States, I found myself withdrawing and making my bubble smaller and smaller and smaller every time I went back. But now I know what to do when I get there,
right.
But it never ceases to amaze me. Not just in the U.S. I shouldn't beat up the U.S. so much. When I travel around the world, what people do to themselves because of the industry's constant bombardment of information that isn't good for you.
It's true. It increases your stress level. Well, and this is not my field of expertise by any means, but the levels of anxiety has increased so much. A lot of that does have to do with what you're putting into your mind. It also has to do with what you're putting into your body. There's a big link between gut health and brain health.
Are you thinking about writing a book?
Well, I do have a book that I wrote a while ago. It's called 365 Days of Healthy Living.
All right.
It's a page per day of just little tips and tricks because, to your point, you need to put in good stuff every day, not just once and be done. You need constant reinforcement of good messages.
That's beautiful. So when did you write this book?
Back in 2018.
Okay. Yeah. So it's on. You can find it on Amazon.
You can find it on Amazon, absolutely.
365 days
of healthy living.
Of healthy living.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Dawn, before I end the podcast, there's a question I'd like to ask. Mm. Now, you just got through hearing me ask Debbie.
I did.
So you started thinking, what am I going to say? If you could go back in time, knowing what you don't know right now, and talk to the younger Dawn, what advice would you give her, and how old would that Dawn be?
So I did have a chance to think about the question, and I'm still not entirely sure of which version of Dawn I would go back and talk to. The truth is I've always tried to live my life with no regrets, and so I don't have a lot that I would like to change. I think there are a couple of times I had an opportunity in my career to live in different places, in Sydney, in Australia, in Singapore, and I didn't take those opportunities.
Oh.
So I think if there is one piece of advice, I would love to tell my younger self, go live somewhere else, go enjoy the cultures, you're gonna love it.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Dawn. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I wanna thank all of you for watching or listening to this podcast. And never forget, it's all on loan, so continue to reach for the stars.
Because you're too blessed to be stressed.